6 Creedmoor, what would I choose as my first precision rifle, and semi-automatic precision rifles this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and we're going to kick it off with some questions from our Patreon supporters. And the first question comes from Michael, and Michael asks, advantages of the 6mm versus the 6.5mm for PRS. I have a 6mm Creed now. I know the factory match ammunition is more readily available for the 6.5 versus the two factory offerings from Hornady for the 6mm. I don't reload yet, coming in the next 6 months. My RPR shoots the Hornady in the mid 0.2 to 0.3 right now, with both the factory ELDM and the ELDX in 6 Creed. Well, Michael, if you're comparing the factory offerings, there is not a lot of performance increase in the 6 Creedmoor versus the 6.5 Creedmoor. So again, if you're just sticking with the factory offerings, real quick, I punched them into the ballistic calculator, and there's very little difference in the wind drift and the drop at 1,000 yards between those two factory cartridges. Now, I think where you start to really get some benefit from the 6 Creedmoor is when you get into hand loading and you have a wider assortment of bullets to run, and you have a wider assortment of powders that you can try to push a higher ballistic coefficient bullet a whole lot faster. Then that 6 Creedmoor starts to creep ahead of the 6.5 Creedmoor. The difference, of course, is you're getting greater performance, but you're sacrificing barrel life. So you will have to replace that barrel a little bit more often. But at this point, you already have the 6 Creedmoor. I would go ahead and get your reloading system set up. I would go ahead and try some of the higher ballistic coefficient bullets. Drive them hard and see what kind of accuracy and what kind of downrange performance you're getting. And then once that barrel's burnt out, you'll have enough to be able to step back and look and see if that was an acceptable amount of barrel life for you, or if you want to drop down and go with the 6.5 Creedmoor, gain a little bit of barrel life, but still have really good performance. So pretty evenly matched in the factory loadings, but they separate a little bit when you start to hand load for them. And our next question comes from Monkey on Patreon. He says, following your 22 match, do you plan on trying out other match types? I really like the look of the team matches that I came across recently on YouTube. For example, the US Optics Team Challenge and the Competition Dynamics Sniper Adventure Challenge. I like how the matches incorporate multiple weapon types, teamwork, navigation, problem solving, locating targets, and even endurance. They look like great fun, and I would like to see more of these field-style sniper adventure matches in the future. Your thoughts on the team style and adventure matches? Well, great question. I really like to separate those kind of matches completely separate from PRS-style shooting matches. PRS-type matches, most of the precision matches that we shoot, they really just test marksmanship abilities, your skill with a rifle. These other team challenge matches, they really start to stray a lot more towards the military side of things. And a lot of guys don't seem to understand that, for instance, the road to becoming a professional military sniper is not just shooting. Shooting is a very, very small part of it. All the field craft skills that support that shooting role, that is really what makes a military sniper. So the ability to land navigate, the ability to think through situations, the ability to plan missions, those are all things that go into making the military sniper. And so these challenge matches, they're really starting to stray a little bit more towards that direction. So they're really cool, but of course you don't see a lot of them because they are a whole lot more intensive in logistics. It takes a whole lot more to set these up. It requires usually a whole lot larger facility with more room, trails, woods, this kind of thing. They are really cool. I can't tell you that I have plans to do one in the future. I may at some point. I have a partner here that really likes those type of matches, like the Mammoth Sniper Challenge Extreme Tough Man Division. He really likes that kind of stuff, and he'll drag me along on them occasionally. But they're not something that I really seek out because I had those experiences in the Marine Corps. with that kind of skill building and those kind of challenges. But occasionally they're nice to be able to get out and do a gut check and remind yourself that you are capable of doing that stuff. Now, my partner, he really likes those, I think, because he was never in the military, didn't get a chance to do that kind of stuff. So it is kind of a new thing for him, and he really enjoys doing it. I think a lot of guys that have never been through those challenges in the military, this is a way to challenge themselves and be able to measure their skills and abilities. So for that, those matches are really cool, and they are interesting to see. Now, I do like when precision rifle matches will throw in side stages that have different weapons, maybe a house gun here, a carbine stage there. As long as those don't greatly skew the results from the main rifle portion of the match, then I really like to see those thrown in because they're kind of cool to have a little side match over here that maybe has a separate prize or something. And it kind of tests the ability of the well-rounded shooter as well. So they're neat. I hope more of them occur. They tend to be more out west where you have a lot more room to do those kind of things. But they're generally neat matches, and if those kind of things interest you, I highly suggest you grab a partner, you start training for them, and then go out and give them a try. They definitely require more training than your average precision rifle match. When we were working up to the Mammoth Sniper Challenge, me and my partner were throwing on packs and we were rucking. If we weren't doing it as a team, then we were at least respectively doing our own ruck marches and carrying a lot of gear and working up to the weight that we would have to carry for the actual match. If you look back through our videos, I have talked about matches such as the Mammoth Sniper Challenge before. So make sure you take a look back and check those videos out. And our next question comes from Lewis, also on Patreon. He says, if you could start your precision shooting journey all over again, what would you choose as your first precision long gun? Would you build/buy a rifle that you can truly call it your favorite rifle, or would you buy a budget-oriented rifle and build up from it? Thank you for all the comments that you've been publishing over the years. Well, that's kind of a hard question to answer because I can tell you when I got back into precision rifle shooting, I did not have the disposable income to be able to drop a large amount of money on a rifle. So I did the whole buy the budget rifle and then incrementally upgrade it from there. Now, I can tell you that if I had to go back and do it all over again, I would seriously consider just saving my beans and then buying something like an Accuracy International, AE Mark II or an AT. I would look on the used market to try to pick one of those up because that really can be your one rifle that you really don't have to upgrade. And then you can, you know, upgrade the scope as you go until you are at a top-tier scope. But I think that might actually, in the long run, save you money. Now, the problem, of course, is not a lot of guys are willing to just not shoot and save their money in order to buy that. You want to get something to get that instant gratification to get shooting now, and they go for the lower priced rifle. And that is definitely not wrong. It's just you have to understand the limitations of that. Starting with a less expensive rifle, maybe a less reliable rifle or a lower performance rifle, but it gets you shooting and it gets you out and you get to enjoy the sport as you save money for upgrades to that rifle. And that's why we did the budget precision project. That's why in the future, we are probably gonna do another one with a different platform rifle to start with, because there are a lot of guys out there that just don't have the cash to buy the top-end rifle right off the bat. If you do have the cash, if you have the disposable income to buy whatever rifle you want, then you are usually much better served by buying a top-level rifle, a top-tier rifle like an Accuracy International or Sako TRG or a lot of those other ones out there, Desert Tech SRS, those kinds of guys. So you are already at the top. You really don't have anything that you can upgrade other than the optics, and you roll with that. And that will save you money in the long run because you're not disposing of parts that you're no longer using and replacing them. And you will generally get a higher quality, more reliable rifle right off the bat. So Going back into it, if I was starting precision rifle shooting again in the position I am in right now, in the financial position I'm in right now, I would just buy an Accuracy International. I would put a mid to high-end scope on it, so like a Vortex Razor or a Night Force Attacker or even one of the older Night Force F1s, and then go from there. Versus buying something lower end and building it up. But if I was, again, starting from the same point that I started early on, just with the knowledge that I have now, I would probably still buy something like a bottom end Remington or bottom end Savage or the Ruger Precision Rifle or even the Howitzer rifle that we're working with now. Those are still starting off at a fairly high level for instance, the Ruger Precision Rifle and the Howitzer rifle. And then you can still make incremental upgrades from there to make it exactly what you want to have. So that's just my opinion on that. For those of you guys that have done this journey from budget rifle to top-end rifle, I really want to hear what you think. If you had to start it all over again, what would you do? Would you go for top-end rifle, or would you again start with a more budget-oriented rifle and build it up? Drop a comment down below. I'd love to hear what you guys have to think. And again, I want to thank you guys for supporting us on Patreon. If you guys don't know what Patreon is, we're going to leave a link down in the comments below. Please check it out. It's a way that you guys can help us to bring you the quality content that you have come to expect without having to worry about if YouTube can continue to support us. So please check Patreon out. We'd love to have you as our patrons. And our next question comes from Facebook, and it comes from David. David says, having used your build for a while now, what are your thoughts on a semi-automatic weapon system being used as a primary firearm in precision tactical applications? And I assume that David is talking about our 6.5 Creedmoor Mach-10 build. And after having shot it for quite some time and seeing that it is capable of very good accuracy, I tend to believe that if you want to go that route and you have that money to drop on it, then that is a great route to go, and it really, I think, has a lot more utility in the types of matches you can shoot. A gas gun is still able to shoot in the open divisions in PRS competition. Some of the gas gun-only matches you can then shoot with a gas gun, and it really... I've started to really enjoy shooting gas guns because you throw a brass catcher on the side of them. You don't have to chase your brass after each stage. They're really good to go, but they are more technically intensive rifles. If you build one up yourself, you need to know what you're doing because there are going to be situations where you have to diagnose issues with the rifle. As you see, the things that we've gone through with the low pressure versus high pressure bolt in the 6.5 Mach-10, you do have to be able to look at stuff and think out problems and figure out what's going on with that rifle. Now, there are quite a few companies out there like JP Rifles that you can purchase a high-end semi-automatic rifle in 6.5 Creedmoor or some of the other competition-oriented calibers, and then just roll with it, and you will likely have very few functional issues with a rifle like that. And they are capable of very, very good accuracy. Now, compared to bolt guns, they are just a hair lower than bolt guns on accuracy. In fact, if you're going across the entire board, there are a lot of semi-automatic rifles out there that are more accurate than bolt guns. But if you are looking at the top tier of bolt action rifles and the top tier of semi-automatic rifles, I still put the semi-autos just a little bit below the bolt action rifles. There may be some guys that disagree with me out there, but that's just what I see if you take group for group and compare them as a group. Now again, the actual shooting of the rifle, I believe that bolt guns are still easier to shoot. There are some days that I really struggle to get the best accuracy out of a semi-automatic rifle because there's a lot going on when that rifle fires. But overall, for a competition environment, I would have no problem picking a semi-automatic rifle, and I really do enjoy shooting our 6.5 Creedmoor Mach-10. I just have a few more little things that I need to work out with it before I can rely on it to shoot competitions. Now, when we switch over and we go to a tactical environment, the big deciding factor there is expense. because you can get a reliable, accurate bolt-action rifle for less money than you can get an equally reliable and accurate semi-automatic rifle. And that's why a lot of departments you will still see for tactical applications, police departments are still buying bolt-action rifles. If the department has the budget to buy a top-end semi-automatic precision rifle for their snipers or for their designated marksmen, it's a very good idea because that weapon is very flexible. It has a lot of roles it can fill, and you have the ability in a law enforcement environment to be able to go from a standoff gun to collapsing in and going up close with that same weapon system, whereas a bolt-action rifle, you do not have that benefit. So that's just my opinion, and again, as always, I want to hear what you guys think. Bolt-action or semi-auto, what is your favorite flavor? And leave a comment for me down below. I love reading them. I love replying to them. Our next question off of Facebook comes from Josh. And Josh asks, for a beginner in precision shooting, what would you recommend for a first-time match? In my area, there is no local matches. Would just mile-long matches be practical since there is only a couple of year and price standpoint? Compared to a PRS where there's so often and more travel time. Well, Josh, I would definitely not recommend you starting off at 1 mile matches. Really, what I would recommend is check into Guardian long range competitions. We've talked about them here on the show quite a few times. I'll leave a link down below in the description section. The really cool thing about Guardian matches is they are PRS style matches. So you shoot the same kind of barricade stages, the same things where you have to move around and shoot. Typically, the ranges are a little bit less than your average PRS match, but you still get the practice. You get the moving from target to target. You get target transitions, varying distances, all the types of skills that you would see in a standard PRS match. But the added advantage is you have it in a much more friendly environment. There is a low stress environment going on. The vibe is a whole lot more friendlier, and you will have a lot of really top-notch shooters from all across the industry and all across the sport that are there just waiting to help you out. We love seeing new shooters at Guardian matches, guys that are coming out with equipment that they're not even sure how well it will work. As long as it's safe and it's reliable, we can help you out to make sure you get the most out of that gun. Guardian matches are really a great place to get your feet wet with precision rifle competition. So I highly suggest you look into those types of match for your first. They are mainly east side of the U.S. oriented matches, but they're all over to the north, to central, and to the south. So check out the Guardian Long Range website and see if there's a match coming near you. And I definitely recommend you check those matches out. And our last question today comes from Austin. And Austin asks, with the rising popularity of precision rifle matches, what advances do you believe need to happen in order to take this form of shooting to the next level? Thanks in advance and stay safe out there. Well, Austin, I'm kind of at a loss on how to answer your question because I don't know that we really have many more advances that we need to go to the next level. I would guess if I had to really focus in on something, I would say the only advancement really is in manufacturing to be able to bring the price of these systems down. As the price of the optics and the price of the rifles come down through economy of scale and through streamlining manufacturing, then it will naturally open up to more people and bring in more people to the sport. One of the really big things that we have to make sure that we are doing is conducting ourselves in a professional manner and really being ambassadors to our sport. So people that are not aware of the precision rifle competition, we need to be able to get out and promote that in a professional manner, in a friendly manner, and be inviting and welcoming to get new people in, because as we get more people in, the sport will naturally grow. But there really aren't any technical advances I see that are going to grow the sport. So it's really just getting more people in that will expand it and make it more widespread. The other limiting factor, of course, we have is the area to put these on. PRS style matches, and that includes National Rifle League and Precision Rifle Series, these type of matches usually require a lot of ground to operate on. So having ranges that can accommodate this kind of shooting is really important. So if we get more ranges open up, then that will naturally expand the sport as well. But opening a 1,000-plus yard field shooting type range is not a cheap endeavor, and there are a lot of legal things that come with that. So that's an issue in itself. But as far as just getting more people to the ranges that we currently have, that's going to be a thing where we have to be ambassadors to our sport and get our friends and family out to shoot them, get new shooters out to shoot them, get younger shooters out to shoot it, and just to share the love of the sport. So that is pretty much what I see as far as what we need to do in advancements to expand the sport. What do you guys think? What kind of advancements would you like to see? What do you think we need to do to expand the sport and get more people involved in precision rifle competition? So again, I really want to hear what you guys have to say. Please go ahead and comment down below. And that is about it for this Mail Call Mondays. We've had a lot of stuff going on here. We posted a couple of videos this last week. We've been doing a lot of stuff with the NRL 22 type things. We're going to do a little bit more with 22 stuff coming up. I know a lot of you guys wrote in and commented that you really like seeing the 22 matches. I would guess that's because they, again, are really more accessible out there. You don't have to have a ton of room to be able to shoot 22. And a lot of people, even when they live in tighter in counties, can go out and shoot 22s in the backyard. So we'll continue to throw in a little bit of 22 content here and there in between the NRL 22 matches that we will be shooting. We've also got some more equipment reviews coming up. Right here in front of me, I have a 14.5-inch barrel AR. This is kind of a lightweight setup, not really a precision rifle, but the reason I have it down here is because we have one of the MagnetoSpeed M-Series grips on here. Initially, I put it on because I just wanted to get a feel for the grip, and I shoot this rifle quite a bit in varying different positions, barricades, quick shooting type scenarios, and this grip works really well in those type of situations. It works well in precision rifle shooting as well. And there are a variety of different accessories that go into it, and we'll be covering it in detail in its own review. But we just got in the monopod setup, and I want to show you this really quickly because I was out shooting with it this morning, and it is a really, really cool compact setup. First of all, when it's on the gun, you really don't notice it's there. It has a minimal amount of weight that you're adding to the gun. So it sits in the grip, it's out of the way, not that big of a deal. Adds about 3/4 inch to the overall length of the grip, but it's somewhere you don't realize it until you need it. Now, if you have a bipod or monopod or any one of the crazy grips up front, a grip pod, then this can really help you out getting stable for longer range shots. And it has two stages to this monopod. So the first stage, you push the release button here, and you get this course adjustment that pops down. It pops down and locks out, and now you have a fine-tuned adjustment down here as well. But you get this little red button on the adjustment wheel, and if you push the red button, the final stage pops out. And that's how you really quickly get your adjustment set, by pushing that button in. And then once you get it locked in, you can turn the thumb wheel here for fine adjustment. So you can really quickly get your rifle on target and then dial in that fine adjustment. Now when you're done shooting and you're ready to go, you just push the red button again and the fine tune collapses. You got a red button here on the back of the monopod. You push that in, and the course adjustment collapses, and you're right back to a regular pistol grip. Just a really cool overall system, and the fact that you can just really quickly take this guy out, and you can swap in either one of their magazine cores, you can swap in a dry box, or even their flashlight attachment system, and this guy is really cool. So you put that in there, and you've got a flashlight in there, in case you need something, you're shooting at night, you need to be able to get to a tree stand. And really quick, this is one of those really cool things. When you buy the flashlight, you get this nifty little bracket that slides under your rail, and the flashlight just sticks on there by magnet. And it's not really designed to be used as a weapon light. We haven't tried it as a weapon light yet because it sits a little bit high up here. But if you sit it on a side rail, obviously you could use it for that. But really, if you're a hunter that needs to get out to your stand, great idea. You can do that kind of stuff. It also has a red light option here. So you got the red light or white light. Really just kind of neat. And it even includes a little metal clip for your hat. So you can put this on the brim of your hat and the light snaps on there. Just really cool overall set of products. And as I said, we will be reviewing these guys in detail coming up. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you guys have any questions or comments on anything that we've covered in this Mail Call Mondays, please leave them in the comment section below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot!